you've heard the saying, past performance is no guarantee of future results. Does that apply to the Federal Reserve? Hi, I'm Rob West. We're so glad you're along with us today. What does it mean when the Fed raises or lowers interest rates? In this case, the Fed has been cutting. And what does that mean for you as an investor? Well, Mark Biller is here to explore all of that with us today. And we'll look forward to diving into your questions as well at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest Mark Biller is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. Mark sometimes shows up to tell us what he thinks we may not necessarily know, and he helps us to process what's going on in the markets. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me back, Rob.
All right, Mark. In mid-September, the Federal Reserve cut the Fed funds rate by 0.5%, which was seen as an aggressive amount for a first cut. You wrote an article recently that points out that what investors broadly believe about rate cuts may not always be right. So share that with us.
Yeah, sure. So let's start with a popular phrase that many of your listeners have likely heard before. That is, don't fight the Fed. Over the last few decades, this has really become the guiding principle for a lot of investors. And the idea behind it is simple enough. That is that when the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, that's intended to slow the economy. And investors should be bearish or cautious about stocks as a result. On the flip side of that coin, when the Fed is cutting interest rates, that's meant to stimulate the economy, and investors should be bullish or optimistic on stocks. Now, over the last 15 years or so since the financial crisis, faith in this idea that Fed policy is really the key driver of investing markets has grown exponentially, and that's because the Fed has intervened in the markets fairly regularly. So more often than not, those who didn't fight the Fed found themselves on the right side of the rising market.
Yeah, really interesting. So investors have learned to be bullish when the Fed cuts rates, clearly.
Yeah, that's right. And it's been a great strategy in recent years, but it hasn't always worked historically. And that's the tricky thing that we're trying to highlight in this article that we're going to be discussing today. So if we go back to 2001 and again in 2007, the Fed started big rate cutting cycles right into the teeth of bear market recessions that resulted in stocks falling by about 50% each time. So those were big, fairly recent examples where rate cuts didn't help investors at all. So with a lot of the U.S. economic data slowing in the months leading up to September's rate cut, some investors were looking at those 2001 and 2007 examples, and they were wondering if the same thing was about to happen again. In other words, were these rate cuts kind of a premonition that we could have a recession and a bear market in the future?
Yeah, meaning we can't assume that rate cuts will keep the bulls running on Wall Street every time. Mark, tell us about the historical evidence you wrote about in this article we're referring to today.
Yeah, it's really important to look closely at each individual example because the average experience of what happens after rate cuts can be kind of misleading. When we looked at the data, we saw there are two distinct paths that the market takes when the Fed starts a new rate cutting cycle. One is when the economy goes into recession. The other is the non-recession path. When the economy is headed towards a recession or already in one, then rate cuts really haven't helped the stock market. And we see fairly big stock market declines in the rate cutting cycles in 1980, 2001, and 2007. So we're talking losses of 17 to 30% in the year after those rate cut cycles started. Wow. On the other hand, when the economy doesn't go into recession, rate cuts have provided the tailwind that investors expect. And we've got three examples of those since 1980 as well. It splits 3 and 3. So in 1987, 89, and 1995, we saw the S&P go up 15 to 25% in the year after the beginning of those rate cutting cycles. So it's clear that recession is the big variable. And so all six of these past transitions gave us big moves, either up or down. The key is whether there was a recession.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Well, Mark, we'll continue to unpack this around the corner. And what does this mean for your portfolio? Mark Biller with us. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
You can learn a little by listening to someone talk. You can learn more by tagging along and watching them do something, but you won't ever get good at it until you start doing it yourself. Think about golf, or playing the piano, or giving a speech. Nobody's good on their first try, but nobody gets good without a first try. I think that's partly why Jesus was willing to send out his disciples partway into his ministry. Matthew 10 tells us he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, were they ready? They didn't have to be fully. The power of Jesus went with them. And that's how it is for all of us as we learn to follow Jesus and make new disciples ourselves. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what can it hurt? What can it hurt? What can it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my good friend Mark Biller. Mark is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. We're talking about an article found at Sound Mind Investing that was in their newsletter. It's also at soundmindinvesting.org where you can check it out. It's called "The Fed is Cutting Interest Rates. What Does It Mean for Investors?" And, you know, we've talked about how the Fed is the largest investor in the world. Their balance sheet rivals no one. And so they move markets. And I would submit they're probably the primary driver and have been of markets for a long time. We could argue whether or not that's a good thing, but it's the reality. Mark Biller here to talk about what that means for your portfolio and how to interpret their recent action. In this segment of the broadcast, we're taking your calls and questions on anything investing related. If you have a portfolio, perhaps you're wondering about the impact of the election, you're wondering how you should be invested, or you just have, generally speaking, questions about your portfolio, call us right now at 800-525-7000. Mark would be glad to take those questions here in just a moment. Again, investing-related questions at 800-525-7000. Mark, you were sharing before the break, and I want to just have you summarize this, and then we'll talk about where we go from here. But what you were saying was we can't always see Fed cuts as a predictor of a market bull run. It really has to do, at least historically speaking, with whether or not that cut was followed by a recession. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we set up, Rob, how cutting rates should be stimulative to the economy in theory, but the reality is that there are bigger forces in the economy that if the economy is breaking down into recession, those factors overwhelm the positive impact of lower interest rates. In other words, if you run a business, Rob, and you're worried about whether you can stay in business because the economy is so bad and your business conditions are getting so bad,
yeah,
then you don't care if you can get an interest rate that's lower than 6 months ago on a new loan. You're not looking to borrow any new money anyway. You're just trying to ride out the rough economic time. So you can see why a recession just erases the positive impact of cutting interest rates.
Yeah, that's helpful. So then the big question here, Mark, is are we on the recession path right now?
Yeah, that's definitely the million-dollar question, right? And you can see why investors and economists spend so much time trying to figure this out. Now, what we've been telling SMI members is it's clear that economic growth was slowing throughout the summer. You can see that in the data. But there's a big difference between slowing data and the economy actually being slow. So just to put this in a little context for listeners, this is the third year in a row that expectations of a recession have snowballed as the end of the year approached. It happened towards the end of 2022. It happened again late last year in 2023. And in both of those cases, this anticipated recession failed to materialize. Now, I think that a big part of the reason why is that investors and economists have been interpreting slowing economic data as if we're in a normal economic business cycle. And what I think is going on, Rob, is that I think the slowing data is more a reflection of a normalization after the huge post-COVID economic spike that we had. So this slowing back towards normal isn't the same thing as slowing into a recession. But in real time, you see the slowing data, and it looks like the same thing. So we've had these repeated recession calls. So we've been preparing SMI members for a repeat of those two last episodes when recession fears eventually gave way to a realization that the economy really isn't in bad shape. It's in pretty decent shape. And really, that's what we've been seeing in the 3 or 4 weeks since the Fed cut rates back in September. We've had a little bit stronger jobs data, a little bit stronger economic data in the last few weeks. And the result of that has been we've seen these future rate cuts that investors were assuming were going to happen. And now people are expecting the Fed to cut a little bit less aggressively going forward than was the expectation even just a month ago.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what do you think then is really going on over at the Fed, Mark, to explain why they started the cutting cycle with this larger than expected 50 basis point cut?
Yeah, it's tough to get inside their head, of course, Rob, and I'm not going to try to do that. But I do think that we can draw two really important lessons from the fact that they went big with this first rate cut. The first thing is that we really see a switch in the Fed from a reactive policy response in the past where they would wait until conditions were really breaking down and then react to that with a stronger move. And we've switched from that reactive policy idea to more of a proactive policy. So in this case, there clearly was no crisis. Okay, we've got growth of 3% economic growth. Unemployment is below the long-term average at 4.2%. We've got asset prices near all-time highs. There's no crisis that they're reacting to. And yet we get this really proactive, we're going to cut big to try to head off any future problems. That's a fairly big change in how the Fed has approached things. The second thing is it's pretty clear that the Fed thinks the inflation battle is won. So they're shifting their focus away from fighting inflation and towards supporting employment and the broader economy. That's not necessarily inappropriate because they do have a dual mandate to fight inflation and keep prices stable, but also to encourage maximum employment. So it's not inappropriate, but it does open the door to another leg of higher prices and inflation if it's true that we avoid a recession and now we have the Fed cutting interest rates into a healthy economy. That's kind of like hitting the gas when the car really hasn't slowed down very much.
Yeah.
And there is that threat that we could see another leg higher in inflation.
Hmm. Yeah, and obviously that would be worst case scenario because then we start this cycle all over again. Well, Mark, it sounds like, I guess, if I'm reading between the lines, that you think we're moving toward the non-recession path. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I definitely think, at least in the short term, that that non-recessionary path is more probable, certainly between now and the end of the year. Next year, after the election, into the first year of the new administration, that's kind of a different story. But for the near term, we're kind of already seeing that. Like I said, we've had a little bit of a pivot in how people are thinking about this, even in just the last few weeks. And we've been writing a lot about this, even leading up to that first rate cut, because of the election fear that's so prevalent. We've seen investors in the past get really afraid about an upcoming election like this and sell their investments. And we think that there's a reasonably optimistic setup for markets between now and the end of the year. So we didn't want people selling out of fear when there's a pretty decent setup for markets ahead.
Yeah, that's well said, Mark. By the way, folks, this article we're talking about today, the Fed is cutting interest rates. What does it mean for investors? Is at soundmindinvesting.org. All right, one more segment with Mark Biller today. Your opportunity to get in with your questions in on the conversation specifically related to investments. 800-525-7000. Call right now. We'll be right back.
Tired of campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
There's a valid reason why more and more people are becoming disillusioned with the mainstream media. It's the same reason more and more people are turning to American Family News. They're tired of all the fluff and propaganda, and they're looking for a news source they can trust. Whether it's politics, world events, or events here at home, you know it's accurate news on current events from an evangelical Christian perspective. American Family News, on the air and on demand at AFN.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you, a partial tax deduction, as well as partial tax-free income. And then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance. Mark Biller here today. And in this segment, we're talking investing, specifically the Fed. But Mark has room for a few of your questions on your portfolio. Do you have questions about the market, the economy, your specific investment strategy? We've got room for a few calls right now for until the bottom of the hour, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Mark Biller here to answer your questions, 800-525-7000. Mark, I know you say and have said before that we should stay data dependent as we think about how we move forward from here in our own investment strategy. Unpack that for us.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really important, and I'm a little biased because our strategies at Soundline Investing are trend following. We use, you know, momentum indicators that tell us what's actually happening, and we kind of try to follow along. And that's different from trying to predict what's going to happen 6 months down the road or 12 months down the road. That's a tough way to do it. So, of course, we're going to say stay data dependent, but I think you see this even in just the last, say, 6 weeks, Rob, you know, in the 3 weeks or so leading up to that mid-September rate cut, expectations of how much the Fed was going to cut rates in the year ahead were just soaring. There were all these rate cuts being priced in, and bond yields were going really, really low as a result of that. And in just the 3 or 4 weeks since the rate cut, we've seen a whole bunch of that reverse. And so now bond yields have risen. The 10-year Treasury went from like 3.6%. It's at about 4.1% now. That's a huge move higher, even though they cut short-term interest rates last month. So that's why we say it's so important to follow the data and not get hung up on what you think should happen or will happen. I think that's a big lesson for all of us as we have this approaching election. You know, we can get really caught up in what we think is going to happen. And sometimes the market will tell us, no, you got that one wrong. And if we're really slow to respond to those signals, it can really cost us as investors. You know, and so I guess, Rob, to tie a little bow around that, you know, at this point, there's not much evidence to indicate that the economy is at risk of slipping into recession. And that doesn't mean that it won't, say, 6 months from now or sometime next year. It just means the data isn't showing that yet today. Now, if the data changes, we have to change our view, and we will, of course. But at this point, it seems like the economy is going to stay resilient for a little while longer, despite all the recession calls we've all heard the last few months. And as a result, we think there's a pretty decent setup for investors, certainly between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think that really helps us think about where we might be headed. Now, of course, a lot of our listeners are wondering about the election and its impact on the markets, where we might go from here. In fact, that's what Jack wants to know about. By the way, until the bottom of the hour here for the next several minutes, taking your questions on investing-related topics, 800-525-7000. Jack, I understand you're out there on the highway, a trucker. You've got a headset on, so you're nice and safe. But give us your question today related to the markets and the election.
Yes, sir. I was just curious what impact Mark might think the economy might take, depending whether Trump won next year or Miss Harris.
Yeah, Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jack. And I think that initially, the markets are definitely going to have a more positive reaction to Trump winning than Harris. But I do think it's actually fair to wonder if some of the market strength that we've seen, say, in the last month or so, is actually the market already pricing in the improving odds that seem to be being telegraphed of Trump's improving odds of winning the election. And if that's the case, sometimes you can get a situation where the market and investors have actually kind of front-run the move that you would expect after the news event. And if that's the case, there may not be as much of a move as investors expect. I think probably the most important thing, Jack, is, and the reason I'm a little hesitant to say much beyond the end of the year, I see a good run for markets between now and the end of the year, potentially a good setup. But if you look back historically, the first year of presidential terms tend to be really the weakest time for the markets. And that's because in either a Trump or Harris administration, they're probably going to try to do some of the tougher stuff, the stuff that hurts a little bit more the economy, and you have to get through that to get to the better results on the other side of these moves. They tend to do that stuff in year one. And so that's the reason why markets often will struggle in a new year one of an administration. So I think that that's if there's a thing to be kind of wary about market-wise, I think that's really it. Probably less about, you know, a President Harris is going to wreck everything, or a President Trump is going to, you know, borrow and spend and, you know, create a whole bunch more inflation. There are these specific narratives that investors are digesting right now in either situation. But I think that really in either case, we have to be a little watchful that markets have, we've had a great year in markets. We've had really a year and a half of a very strong bull market, and we could see some digesting, if not even pulling back at some point next year, as some of these less popular adjustment policies come out from either administration.
Yeah, that's helpful. Jack, thanks for keeping our economy running out there on the highways today, my friend. We appreciate your call. We've got just about 30 seconds left here. Mark, you mentioned what you all do there at SMI. How can you come alongside investors with the newsletter and your strategy there?
Yeah, well, I think it just, you know, giving this kind of update on a regular basis, people can come alongside us and hear our views. And then we offer very specific recommendations based on how we're seeing the data come in that keeps people up to date in real time.
Excellent. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. While you're there, check out this article we've been talking about today. The Fed is cutting interest rates. What does it mean for investors? Mark, always appreciate your time with you. We'll be right back, folks.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, it's time to turn the corner and tackle your questions on anything financial. So every financial topic is in play now. You want to talk about your credit score. Maybe it's paying off credit card debt or other types of debt. Maybe it's giving wisely. How do you give more effectively? Or perhaps it's saving for the future, balancing that budget. All of those topics and more in play today. Just call 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. We'd love to help you process whatever you're thinking about in your financial life through the lens of biblical wisdom. Before we head to the phones, in the news today, many employees only spend about 45 minutes annually reviewing their health care benefits, but rising health care costs make careful consideration really crucial. Listen to this related to rising health costs. Employer health care costs are projected to rise 7.7% next year in 2025. Employees are likely to face higher premiums and out-of-pocket expenses as a result. Health benefit costs are expected to rise nearly 6% in 2025, and that's the third consecutive year of increases. You really need to think about and choose wisely the options in your plan as you consider higher premiums, whether lower deductibles versus the lower premium and higher out-of-pocket costs make more sense for you. You need to consider your typical medical needs. Are you in more of a preventative mode, or maybe you have a medical condition that requires frequent care? That should play into your selection of a plan. What about a health savings account? You know, HSAs allow tax-free savings for out-of-pocket expenses. That's where you have a high deductible health plan combined with a health savings account. The beautiful part about HSAs is that unused funds roll over, and contribution limits for 2025 are up at $4,300 for an individual, $8,550 for a family. So if you're relatively healthy, perhaps you have a nice income or you're living below your means, you have the ability to fully fund that HSA. Could be a really nice additional retirement savings vehicle as you continue to allow that money to build up. You invest it, it grows tax-free, and as long as it's used for qualified medical expenses down the road, could be a really nice boost to your overall retirement strategy. Disability insurance is something to look at. Review the employer-provided coverage and consider disability insurance, especially if you have dependents. Voluntary benefits are something a lot of people don't consider, and employers may offer mental health support, financial coaching, wellness initiatives like gym discounts. Check those out. See what's available to you. Voluntary benefits can really improve your overall well-being as long as you make sure it's a pretty good plan and not too expensive. Here's the bottom line. Open enrollment is your opportunity to carefully review your health insurance and benefits, ensuring that you're making the best choices for your financial and physical health. And as costs continue to rise, you want to take the time to evaluate other options. So the HSA, additional voluntary benefits, those can make a big difference for you and your family in the long run. Let me also just finish by saying you may want to consider as well Christian Healthcare Ministries. They've been a partner of ours here, an underwriter for a long time at Faith and Finance. And, you know, if you're not familiar with it, checking out CH Ministries could be a really great option. If you're not offered workplace insurance or if it's just too expensive, CHM is a faith-based alternative to health insurance. It's a membership-based organization that it's a not-for-profit. As part of the biblical covenant, members step in and help fellow brothers and sisters in Christ pay for their eligible medical bills according to the guidelines. And so whether you have insurance or Medicare or another cost-sharing service, you can calculate the savings that will stack up when you use CHM by going to chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi. You can check it out today. All right, let's head back to the phones here. We've got a few lines open. Your questions on anything financial right now at 800-525-7000. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Mary. How can I help?
Yes, I had received a letter in the mail that was saying that my student loans were put on some kind of permanent disability that I had applied for, but I never applied for that. So I'm not sure what to do or how do I address that, if it's a scam letter or if it's legit.
Yeah. So tell me more about that. It said you use the words permanent disability. That's not something you would typically hear related to a student loan. So is it more of like a deferment, or what else can you share from the letter you received?
It was saying that it would, like, they would have to evaluate it for, like, the next 3 years, but that it was, like, some designation. And it said something affiliated with a teacher, too, but I'm not a teacher, so that wouldn't apply to me either. So it's kind of weird.
Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, typically, I mean, that kind of term would have to do with, you know, whether there was, you know, you're unable to have substantial gainful activity because of a medical condition. Where, you know, your benefit might be discharged. I mean, that would be often what's there, but it doesn't sound like your situation. So I would say it's either an error or it's something that, you know, is fraudulent or some sort of spam of some kind. You know, it's not saying that it was put in what's called a TPD, a total and permanent disability discharge. Was that, did you see that language in there?
Yeah, it was that, and it was also saying about a teacher, which I'm not a teacher, so it's kind of weird. But my provider had been Navient, and this is Nelnet, in case they switched to Nelnet. I'm not even sure what Nelnet is.
Okay.
I had never heard of it before.
Yeah. What I would do is contact the TPD servicer. So that's Nelnet, and there's a phone number that I could give you. It's probably on the letter as well. And you'll want to call them and just, you know, report the error, because you know, this, if you're not disabled or you didn't apply for this, you know, there's been an error, and you'll want to reach out to them to talk about it. Do you want me to provide you with that number, or was it already on there for Nelnet?
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's 888-303-7818. I'll say that again. It's 888-303-7818. And that's Nelnet, and that's a legitimate servicer that handles these TPD discharges. And you're just going to want to call them and say, listen, I'm not disabled. I didn't apply for this. Can you tell me more? I think there's been an error here, and they can walk you through where you go from here.
Yeah, I heard a lot of times when they merge these files all together and transfer providers, things like that can happen.
Yeah, it's possible. It also, there could be some, you know, fraudulent activity going on here, and that's why you're going to want to, I think at the same time, I'd pull a copy of your credit report just to make sure, you know, this error hasn't impacted your credit score, document your communication. You know, you're going to want to request that they reinstate your loans to the previous status so you don't lose any benefits or repayment progress that you've made. And then just monitor your accounts. But calling them and getting this back on track is probably the best next step.
I've frozen all those, so those shouldn't be impacted, should they?
They shouldn't, no. I mean, you're going to want to make sure there's not any negative information being reported to them. A freeze really is more about protecting you against somebody opening an account fraudulently in your name. That should stop them in their tracks. But I just want you to be sure, and this is just a good best practice anyway, that there's not inaccurate information being reported to your report. Just go to annualcreditreport.com and you can pull all three bureau reports. Hope that helps, Mary. Thanks for your call today. I'm sure you'll get this straightened out, but I would get Nelnet on the phone. God bless you. Hey, one more segment. Your calls on anything financial right now at 800-525-7000. Stick around.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like, it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart, but Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind in your financial life today. A couple of email questions. These come into us regularly at AskRob@FaithFi.com. We try to get a few of them on the broadcast each day when we have an opportunity. This first one comes from Brian. He writes, I've read Ron Blue's Splitting Heirs, and let me just pause right there and say that I think this is the best book on wealth transfer from a biblical perspective. When we talk about wealth transfer, not the actual legal side of it, the, you know, the ins and outs of trusts and wills and estates and so forth, but all of the decisions that have to be made prior to putting those documents in place, how much to leave to the kids, and, you know, what do you do when you have one child who's not following the Lord, and, you know, just all these things around family communication, and, you know, what do you tell the kids and heirs ahead of time, and what does that family meeting look like? All of this and so much more is covered in this book, Splitting Heirs, from Ron Blue. You can pick it up wherever you buy books. All right, back to Brian's question. I've read Ron Blue's Splitting Heirs, and I was wondering if you could recommend any other resources I can study to prepare to talk with my adult children about God's will and the estate plan I've set up. And Brian, it's a great question. There is kind of a next step to that among other resources. One I might suggest is a book that you'll find again wherever you buy books, including Amazon and others, called Create a Thriving Family Legacy. And it's by my friend Jeff Rogers, who's a certified Kingdom Advisor in Florida. Again, that book, Create a Thriving Family Legacy. And there's a chapter in there specifically called How Much is Enough? And it addresses the question of how much money is appropriate to leave to your children. Ron Blue, in fact, wrote the foreword to it. But he also has in the book an intentional plan for a lasting legacy. So it really does walk you through how do you pass values and virtues and guiding principles to the next generation? How do you share your wisdom before wealth with your children and grandchildren, and really gives you a detailed approach to seeing all of that transfer, not just your valuables, but your values. And I would submit that's the most important part. So check out this book, Create a Thriving Family Legacy. All right, this one comes from Steve. He says, on your program, someone mentioned that a wife, a spouse, could receive half of her husband's Social Security. How does that work? And does it relate to our ages? Well, yes, your wife can receive, and a spouse, husband or wife who's non-working, can receive up to one half of the spouse's, the working spouse's Social Security benefit. This is appropriately called the spousal benefit. So to qualify, you have to be married to someone eligible for Social Security benefits, generally for a year or more. You have to be at least 62, although claiming it at that age will permanently reduce your benefit compared to waiting to full retirement age. So I mentioned you can get up to 50%, and then it comes down from there for every year you take it prior to full retirement age. And that permanent, again, reduction is, again, permanent and will apply to your retirement benefits if you take them later. Now, if you're divorced, you can still qualify for spousal benefits based on your ex-spouse's record if you were married for at least 10 years, you're currently unmarried, and your ex-spouse is eligible for Social Security benefits, regardless of whether your spouse is taking those benefits. So something that's often misunderstood but could be a great blessing for someone who doesn't have the work record to get their own benefits, but can enjoy a spousal benefit. So really, really good to know. All right, let's head back to the phones. Tony, I understand you have a praise report coming out of South Carolina. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, praise God. How are y'all?
I'm doing great. I appreciate your call. Tell us your story.
Yeah, I talked with you probably a couple weeks ago, and I was asking you about debt consolidation.
Yes,
and you gave me some numbers. I think the Christian credit counselors. I got in contact with them. They gave us some good information, but also got in contact with debthelpers.com.
Okay.
And God gave me favor with them. So now they're not just a debt consolidation, but there's a 501 and nonprofit. And now they help me lower my payments so I could be able to pay my bills off.
That is incredible. So you're enrolled in the program and actively paying toward it, Tony?
Yes. I'll be finishing my enrollment today. I got to finish everything up, the paperwork. But they also going to lower my interest rates and everything. They helping me. So I thank God for that. I'm glad I was able to call and talk with you because you did give some good information, and I wrote a lot of things down.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. Tell me, what kind of interest rate did you have before, and now what will your new interest rates be on the program?
My interest before was much higher, now they're lower. Some of them, they're going to try to pay it off within 12 months, about a year.
That's great. Well, this is my preferred way, Tony, as I had mentioned to you last time you called, to pay off credit card debt. You're going to get that one level payment that fits into your budget, and you're going to get that lower interest rate, which is a big help because now, you know, much more of every payment is actually going toward reducing the balance, which is the key. We don't want to go into interest. We want it to go to principal so you can get out of debt once and for all. Now, here's the key, Tony. Once these cards are paid off, what we don't want to do is increase your lifestyle spending. We want to keep your bills the same, keep your spending the same, and take that money that you were sending to the credit cards, and I want you to put that into a savings account so you can build up your 3 to 6 months emergency fund, okay?
Okay, emergency fund. Let me write that down.
Yeah. I recommend you have at least three. So you total up all your bills, and basically you've got your budget now because you probably worked on that with the credit counseling agency. Whatever that budget is, the total of all your bills for the month, I want you to multiply that by three. And that's the minimum goal that I want you to have in your emergency savings. So this is going to be a separate savings account, separate from your checking account, although you can link them electronically if you want. And we're going to build that up in that way. When something unexpected comes in the future, you don't have to ever think about going to the credit cards for unbudgeted expenses. You'd take it out of your emergency fund. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So that's your next plan. And then after that, we could think about investing. We could think about increasing your giving. I mean, there's all kinds of options. But the first step is exactly what you're doing, and that is getting out of debt. And I love the way you're going about it. So, hey, Tony, thanks for your call. We appreciate that praise report. We always love to hear when people take action in their financial life and that we could play some small part in that. He did mention our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. And by the way, they've been a longtime underwriter of ours here at Faith and Finance. And they are our preferred way for you to get out of debt once and for all. They're believers. And again, the beautiful part of debt management as opposed to other types of debt repayment like debt settlement or debt consolidation is doesn't involve a new loan, doesn't involve you stopping payments that's going to get you into a past due status where you go into collections and trash your credit. With credit counseling, you keep the accounts current. In fact, if you're already behind, they will often what they call re-age the account to bring you current. They're going to drop the interest rate from an average of 20%+ to somewhere between 0 and 8% typically, could be as high as 12. And then with one level monthly payment, usually about 3% of the balance, paid through Christian Credit Counselors to your existing creditors, you're going to get these debts paid off on average 80% faster. And that's why we love this option. So if you want to learn more, just visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and they could be a great help to getting you on track to getting that credit card debt paid off once and for all. Again, that's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And then, as I mentioned to Tony, the key is make sure that budget's in place and don't let your lifestyle spending rise. You know, so often when we have, quote, extra money because either we paid off the credit cards or maybe you got a bonus or you got a raise, here's what happens. Our level of spending rises to our level of income unless we protest to the contrary. And so we have to say, no, I'm capping my lifestyle spending, and that means any increases I have because I no longer have debt or I've got a rise in pay or I got a bonus or I got an inheritance. If I'm capping my expenses, now that's surplus. Now I get the opportunity to take a step back and say, okay, based on my values as a Christ follower, how do I want to allocate this money? You know, maybe I want to do more giving. Maybe I want to save it for the future and get that retirement plan going. Maybe I want to shore up my emergency fund. Maybe I want to start a business on the side. I mean, it could be any number of things. Maybe it's saving up to buy a rental property that you want to use as a source of income, you know, during your retirement years. But having that margin is essential, and keeping our lifestyle spending below our income is the only way we're ever going to have margin to be able to pursue those God-given goals and objectives that we have. But it should be based on our values, because here's the reality. The way I spend or allocate God's money, it all belongs to Him. The way I allocate it is the clearest reflection of what I value. What do I place my trust in, and what's most important to me? That's the story that your money management is telling. The question is, are you happy with the story? And if not, maybe you need to make some changes. Well, we all do from time to time. Hey, folks, thanks for being along with us today. I hope today has been an encouragement to you. I always love having Mark Biller along. I hope you've taken some things away with regard to your investments and just hopefully getting you into a place where you can think long term, not be so driven by the short term moves of the market, especially with this election around the corner. And above all else, that we helped you refocus on God as your ultimate treasure. Big thanks to my team today. Certainly couldn't do this without them. Sandy Dickinson managing our phones today. My producer, the amazing Devin Patrick. And providing research today, Mr. Taylor Stanrich. And everybody here at FaithFi. What an amazing team we have the opportunity to work with. you want to support our work, just go to faithfi.com and click give and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.